Climbing to Nigeria, climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. On the shining the glory.
Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Amen. Let's sing it with a revelation of understanding, because it's been preached to us all our lives. Even if you are here 3 services, it's enough. You know enough. So let's sing like we're going there. Amen. Soon we'll cross over. Amen. We could cross over even tonight if we sing good enough. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're trying to recreate what happened on Wednesday. There was a wonderful spirit in here on Wednesday. Invite the Lord down tonight.
Say thank you to all the brothers and sisters of the church for their embracing and kindness care that she received through all these months. She's going on a 1 month trip and then she's going back to Brazil. She asks for prayers of the saints so everything goes well. Thank you very much and God bless you all. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Andrea. Amen. Good to see our sister back as well, Sister Valentin. We're just saying it in the car coming down, saying, I'm sure Brother Goran and then we'll be back soon. We got you and the sister was there. It was really good. Amen. Let's open our Bible, saints, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's have a time of prayer this evening. But before we come to prayer, let's get ourselves in a thought. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3. Up to verse 5. Paul is teaching us, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, bless this word to us. Guide us and help us this night, Lord. Father, to draw unto Thee, and Father, to be led and guided of Thee. Father, Your word says we know not how to pray as we ought, but Father, it's Your unction that leads us to pray according to Your will, so let it be done. We do pray for our sister that You'd bless her. Father, bless her even as she'd go on her journey. Bless her, bring her safely home. Father, continue, Lord, to be with her in her pilgrimage, we pray. Until we meet again. Father, them that haven't managed to come, prayer has been made for them. Every other petition, we bring it into Thine hands, Lord. Help us to shut ourselves in with Thee now. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. Let's just take a thought of this one, the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare, because that is exactly what Paul is saying in verse 4. In verse 3, he starts off saying, for though we walk in the flesh, you know, so we're walking in the flesh, we're coming across fleshly challenges. When you're speaking of the flesh, you're speaking of the fallen man, the natural man. So we walk in this dimension of the flesh as natural people. But he says, but we do not war after the flesh. And that's a real serious principle he's giving us straight away, that we as believers, we should never war after the flesh. Now our war is against powers and principalities. We don't war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural things. They're not the things which the natural world uses. Now, if in the natural world, if people have a division between themselves, they're going to use natural methods. They're going to use psychology. They're going to use revenge. They're going to use all manner of things, you know, in the warfare which they wage. But Paul's saying, we don't do that. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. So whenever there's a stronghold that's being built, you know, who are we fighting against? We're fighting against the powers of darkness. So we're fighting against, relentlessly, as believers, against darkness in any form. So darkness comes in. Darkness can come in oppression. It can come in possession. It can come in depression, all these different things. It can come in disharmony, disunity. It can come in through criticism. It can come in through division. Anyway, those are the manifestations of darkness. So whenever we see darkness as believers, it can come in sickness. It can come in sin. It can come in all manner of things that darkness manifests itself. We see the fruits of darkness. But we as believers, we are called to wage warfare against darkness in any form that we come across it. When darkness wants to come into our lives, that's when now we've got to get the scriptures. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. We've got to wage warfare against darkness. But Paul is showing us something here that, you know, when we're waging warfare against this darkness, we don't use the natural means and methods and, you know, methodology of the world. You know, because we're believers, because we're waging a different level of warfare, because we understand that every trial, every temptation, every situation has both a spiritual and a natural side, the world looks on the natural side. And that's why they're going to wage warfare on the natural side. But the believer comes up high and looks beyond the veil and looks into the spiritual side of that trial or whatever that it's going to be, that affliction. And you know where you need to wage your warfare. You're not waging warfare on the carnal level, but you're waging warfare against that darkness. We'll see just now where Paul says it again. Now, Paul, he was a spiritual man. And if you read this chapter, you'll understand there were people that were fighting against Paul, claiming to be ministers, apostles in the message of the hour. And they were contradicting Paul, saying all manner of things against Paul and his message. And Paul now, in all of his fighting, in all of the warfare that he waged against false doctrine, against all those things that Satan was trying to bring into the message, you'll never find from the time of the heavenly vision that Paul used carnal warfare. Paul would never use the same tactics as the people fighting against him. If people would be fighting against him using gossip or using slander, using malice, whatever that it was, Paul wouldn't use that methodology. Paul would say, no, that's not the level that we fight this kind of a warfare. Amen. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says if we want to see the mighty power of God, he says, because if we're fighting on the right level, he says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when someone builds up a stronghold of false doctrine, if the devil comes and establishes a stronghold in somebody's family, if the devil comes to put a stronghold in your health, he comes to put a stronghold in somebody's life, and that person now he's in a fortress, doesn't want a fellowship with somebody else. Now Paul says we don't wage warfare. If we want to see the power of God, we don't operate at that level, but we've got to operate in the spiritual level. Amen. So he never resorted to those kind of tactics. And that's the powerful thing about Paul. And the reason Paul did that, he was such a spiritual man. And that's why he was so successful. And he learned it from the master himself. Because in all the battles for redemption, all that Jesus had to go through, all the contradiction of sinners against him, everything that Jesus went through, when they spat on him, plucked out his beard, when they called him Beelzebub, when they questioned his birth, when they tried to catch him with questions and tricks and snares, until finally they used all the political means they could. They used all of the deception and the manipulation and whatever the people could use against Jesus. But Jesus never once came down to that level. He never did. Jesus always waged warfare from a higher level. Amen. Jesus knew that. Jesus, the weapons of Jesus' warfare were not carnal. But we see how mighty they were to the pulling down of strongholds. Whenever the devil raised up something, Jesus would come and use spiritual weapons to destroy that darkness, to overcome the kingdom of darkness. Because why? Because all spiritual blessings to the believer are only available in heavenly places. Amen. You know, so for us to get the blessing, for us to get the inspiration, for us to receive the unction, the anointing, the wisdom, all the things that we need to wage warfare in spiritual warfare, we've got to come up to heavenly places. Because that's the realm that we're going to fight the warfare against. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. When Paul speaks about putting on the whole armor of God, he explains it to us why. This is so important that when we wage warfare, we need to first identify who are we waging warfare against here. You see, look what he says in Ephesians 6 verse 10. We know the scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the first step of us waging warfare is it's only going to be in his power and his might. If we're trying to wage warfare in our own power, using our own reasoning, using our own argumentative skills, using our own, you know, psychology, manipulation, playing on people's human sympathy, whatever it is, it's never going to achieve the purpose. It's never, ever going to overcome darkness. The only way that you overcome darkness is by being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then how do we do that? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now, every part of this armor, the prophet says, it's supernatural. It's a supernatural armor. So it shows it's a spiritual warfare. So therefore, this isn't something we can do if we don't raise up into heavenly places. Though we may be believers, but if we're walking in the flesh, if we're not walking in the spirit, we don't have the whole armor of God on at that time. We don't have it. You know, and the battleground we'll see just now, the battlefield will find you out very quickly. If you don't have the spiritual armor, it's not going to take long until all of us are going to see this person's carnal. Amen. Now this person, when they're fighting their cause or they're fighting whatever they're doing against darkness, they're not using spiritual principles here. That's why it says in verse 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's the very first principle we must always bear in mind. If you have misunderstanding between you and somebody, if there's a sharp contention like there was between Paul and Barnabas, whoever it was, always remember you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But you wanted to wrestle against that darkness that has come between you and that person. So if you get out of unity with somebody, that person's never going to be your enemy. You're carnal if you think like that. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But you've seen darkness has come in. Something's come between you and that person. Maybe it's through misunderstanding. Maybe it's through misrepresentation, misinterpretation. Whatever that Satan has done to come between you and somebody. But darkness has come in. No, the darkness has come in and Satan's trying to establish a stronghold. He's trying to come and permanently place himself in a certain situation so he can start to work from there and continue his work. But we as believers, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. If we can just identify the enemy, and if we can just put on the whole armor of God and use the right weapons, you'll never fail. Darkness cannot stand. You will prevail in that day. You will win that battle. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against who? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who we're fighting against, is the rulers of darkness. And when darkness comes into your home and your children are giving themselves over to darkness, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And the moment now you're going to try to bring yourself down now and start using flesh and blood tactics, flesh and blood methods, you're never going to win. You never beat darkness like that. But you've got to raise up into heavenly places. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. You've got to go in His might, in the power of His might. Now you've got to be clothed with a supernatural something. And then now, identifying your enemy, clothing yourself for battle, you now go to the battlefield. Because friends, if you go to the battlefield and you're not dressed with the right armor, you're finished.
Yes, that's right.
If you don't have the right equipment on the battlefield, how are you ever going to win? And if you don't know who your enemy is on the battlefield, how you ever expect you're going to come off there being victorious? You've got to know your enemy. And you've got to know your tools, your weapons. You've got to know what's available to you. And you've got to use them accordingly if you hope to break through that darkness, that darkness. So where does he say this darkness is at the end of verse 12? He says against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this wickedness is in heavenly places as well. So if we want to fight against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, we've got to rise up into heavenly places as well. Now, so we can't go to fight battles. We can't go to try to defeat the enemy. We can't go to try to cast him out of situations and circumstances and relationships and out of people's lives and out of our own lives until we first raise up into heavenly places.
Amen.
That's the first thing. That's the first thing. Sometimes we're running, trying to fix things, running, trying to contend, running, trying to put our point across, running, trying to show, no, I'm right, you know, defending ourselves. And all we're showing is that we're carnal. We're just fighting it on the natural level. We're doing just the same as the worldly people would do if they have things which they need to overcome. Friends, our weapons are not carnal. We don't wage warfare in the same dimension that they wage warfare in. We wage warfare in heavenly places. Otherwise, we're going to have the same results as them. And we don't want to be like that. That's why it says in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, what's that? The Word of God. That's a spiritual something. For the Word to be effective, for you to be able to use the Word effectively, you've got to be in the Spirit. If you carnal, the sword of the Spirit doesn't apply to you.
Yes.
You know, that's not what it is. You can take the word when you carnal, but it's not the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, it's just going to make things worse. And when we try to wrestle against these powers and these wickedness, and we try to cast these things out and say, Satan, you built a stronghold between me and my wife. You built a stronghold between me and my son. You built a stronghold between me and my brother, me and my sister. It's time now for me to wage warfare against this stronghold. If you go about it carnally, you're just going to make it worse. You're just going to better establish that stronghold that Satan is building there. But if you can go now in the power of His might, you can go with the spiritual, a supernatural endowment of armor against that. Our friends, Jesus never failed once. And if you in the spirit, you'll never fail. You'll never fail. You can't fail. Because this armor is omnipotent if it's used properly. But it's all a spiritual armor. And we have to put it on. If you want to overcome darkness in any manifestation that it is, it could be temptation coming against you. You got to put on the helmet of salvation. No, you got to make sure you got the breastplate of righteousness. If you have a condemned heart, if things aren't well in the subconscious, like we said on Sunday, you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. This is a clear, pure heart before God. You've got to have an uncondemned conscience. You've got to have that confidence in yourself to know that God is going to be with me here. God is going to go before. The battle is the Lord's. He's going to fight this battle for me. So you've got to have on this breastplate. You've got to be girt about your loins, girt about with what? With truth. That's the great thing you're using is truth. When there's deception, you overcome it by truth. You don't need to use deception to fight deception. No, you don't need to use the tactics of the world to overcome the opposition of the world. You don't need to use what the devil makes people do to overcome those people. No, you rise up into heavenly places and you just put on the whole armor of God. And you use the sword of the Spirit. You use truth. You use righteousness. You use those things. That's your armor. But in order for us to operate this armor, you've got to be walking in a faith dimension. Because we've grown up using our own ways to manipulate things. If someone's not happy with us at work, the boss, we know how to use psychology. We know how to lie. We know how to misrepresent things. We know how to play on people's sympathies and so forth. You know, to try to get ourselves out of those difficult situations. No, we're so prone as natural people, if we're not in the spirit, to lean back to natural methods and tactics to wage warfare against things that are coming against us. Like we said, when Abraham went down to Egypt, when he wasn't in the spirit, he wasn't in his position. He didn't have the breastplate of righteousness on. He was condemned inside of his conscience. He knew, I'm not supposed to be in this place. That's why now when the problem came in and darkness came in and he was about to have his wife defiled by Pharaoh, he uses carnal means. You know, he starts and tell her, you're my sister and all these kind of things. And friends, when we're not in the spirit, we wage warfare carnally. No matter how we try to dress it up in all kind of message terminology and we try to explain and no, we don't want that.
Amen.
Now the first thing we've got to do before we overcome darkness, we've got to get into the spirit.
Amen.
If you're not in the spirit, don't go and try to overcome the darkness. If there's a division between you and somebody and you're not in the spirit, you stay away from that person.
Amen.
Don't go and try to wage warfare against a darkness that has come into your life or somebody else's, yet you're trying to use carnal methodology. That makes it worse. And that's why so many times we've done and it didn't work. And then we step back and say, I'm just going to leave the situation like this. No. Learn from those battles that you failed in. Learn the principle and say, where did I go wrong here? Either one, you are fighting carnally. Yeah? You're trying to justify yourself, trying to use human reasoning, human understanding. You know, you allowed your natural self to get into the battle. You're not supposed to be in the battle. He's supposed to be the one that's in the battle. Once you're in the battle, you're going to lose. Once your temperament comes in, once your memory comes in, once your reasoning power kicks in, away goes the spiritual armor. But it's a yieldedness. It's getting yourself in the spirit. That's why before a soldier goes to war, he first puts on the armor. You don't go to battle and then put on the armor. You've got to clothe yourself properly before you go to the battle. You've got to make sure you've got all the weapons on before you do anything. So we as believers, that's where we have divisions and problems just last for a long time, is because we're not raising up to the right place. And then going and confronting that darkness that has come before us. But instead we're going while we're carnal. And it soon finds us out. We've got to be so careful. There's such a temptation, such a tendency as natural people to use natural means. And like I say, we'll use scriptures to back it up and we're like clothed like, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing. No. If it's a wolf, it's a wolf. It doesn't matter if you put sheep's clothing on it. If you're using psychology, it's psychology. If you're trying to play on somebody's sympathy, that's just carnal, natural means of dealing with things. Come up higher. That's what John was told. Before we can wage warfare, come up higher. That's the very first thing that you've got to do. We've got to be clothed in a supernatural armor. So we've got to come into a supernatural place to get ourselves clothed once again with the supernatural armor. Then we can correctly use now these weapons.
Amen.
In that dimension they're supposed to be used against, and against the enemy that we're supposed to be using them against, which is the darkness. Not the flesh and blood that darkness has used, but it's the darkness that has come into the life of that person, or come into your life, or come between you and somebody else, or come into your home, whatever it is. You've got to wage warfare against the darkness. Now, the field of battle, quickly, in natural warfare, it'll manifest who doesn't have armor. It's not going to take long when you get in the battle if you say, but hey, that guy doesn't have his armor on. Because he's not able to fight. He's not able to be effective. And it's the same in the field of battle spiritually. You know, it doesn't take long when the pressure comes on to somebody that you can tell, this person's in the spiritual, this person's can't. This person's out of the spirit. Because in battle now, when we start to use carnality, it shows we're in a carnal condition. We're not spiritual at that time. We haven't clothed ourselves first before we came to battle. We're not in the right condition to be fighting that battle. And the battlefield will find us out. It doesn't take that. And what are the different things of carnality? Criticism. Yeah. Somebody comes to you wanting to sort something out to say, look, hey, sister, you know, I've got something against you. Do you think we can deal with this? There's a darkness that's come into our relationship. And the other person's not in the spirit. What do? They go away and they start criticizing. Yeah. How can somebody think like that about me? And so forth. No, it shows straight away there's not a spiritual armor there.
Amen.
You know, this is natural now. We go away and try to make disciples to ourselves, to win them to our cause. You know, we go and try to seek sympathy from somebody and say, but you know, that person thinks this and that against me. It's not fair. I don't think it's right for someone to think like it against me. What are we doing? That's carnality.
Amen.
That's what the world does.
Amen.
That's how the world faces up to its problems. You know, if you go and criticize somebody in the world, try to help somebody in the world, now they're not going to take it very well. And what are they going to do? Go and try to find sympathy somewhere else. That's natural. But did Jesus ever do that? He never did. Did Paul ever do that? No, they fought in another level. They rose up into a certain spiritual dimension. Now, that was put the flesh, put carnality down underfoot. And then they fought from a spiritual realm. And that's why they were so successful in what they did. And that's why now, when we're not in the spirit, what are the other manifestations we all have? You disrespect authority. We disrespect each other. We can quickly speak against somebody. We can quickly, you know, all these kind of things. It shows in the battlefield you don't have the spiritual armor on. When you quickly overcome by carnality and start using carnal weapons to fight the battle, to try to overcome, trying to defend ourselves, trying to make excuses for what we did and all that. No, friends. We can never overcome darkness like that. We've got to come up to that dimension, put on this armor, and then we go and fight in this battle. Now the prophet says the whole armor of God, it's buckled with agape love. He says the thing which binds the whole thing together is divine love. And what are the attributes of divine love? Charity is not easily provoked. So when you've got on the whole armor of God, if you're walking in the Spirit, even if somebody says something which would provoke a carnal person, it doesn't provoke you. It might not be easy for you to say, but hey, that was hard. But you're not going to use the tactics of the world back by provoking that person back. You're not going to seek for revenge. There's not going to be malice coming into that situation. You've come up to another dimension. Those things don't exist in that dimension. Those things don't exist at all. It says charity suffers long. It's long suffering. So when you're on the battlefield and you've got this armor on properly and you know who you're fighting against, even if other people come and carnal onto the battlefield, you're able to suffer long. You don't quickly get into wah, 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 wah with them, yeah? And get caught up in battles that aren't the real battle. And you realize, no, I don't need to worry about this person who hasn't yet got the armor on. My wrestling is not against flesh and blood. My wrestling is against this darkness.
Amen.
It's time now to evict this darkness. I've waged warfare against this darkness that has come in. And friends, we've got to recognize that. We've got to put our resources, we've got to focus everything against the real enemy, which is this darkness who's trying to establish a stronghold. And when he's trying to establish a stronghold, we can't use carnal weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's why we've got to put on the whole armor of God before we go to the battlefield. Before we go to try to overcome that darkness, make sure you're clothed with the full armor of God. Make sure you've come up high into heavenly places. Make sure that your natural carnality has been subdued in the name of Jesus. That you have control of the natural man. That he's not the one kicking and fighting and saying things that you're going to regret afterwards. No. You're carnal now. Go back and get spiritual again and then come back to the battlefield. And you're going to see there's going to be a great difference in the end of that battle that you're fighting. Because you're going to overcome the darkness. Remember with Jesus. Jesus never used carnality. Remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane when Malchus came and all the rest came to arrest him and Peter takes out the sword. He was using the methods of the world. And he cut Malchus's ear off and he thought, I've done a good thing. And Jesus said, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. He says, do you not know I could call to my Father, he could send 10 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Amen. Jesus was clothed. He was in another dimension than Peter. And what made the difference? When Jesus went to get prepared in Gethsemane to pray through. Because he knew, I'm not yet ready to face up to this battle. And he went and he wrestled and he agonized in prayer. And then he broke through Jesus. Then he came back. But where was Peter, James, and John? They were sleeping. He said, rise, pray. Yeah, watch and pray. Because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And that's why the moment the conflict came upon them, they used fleshly means. They used fleshly tactics. First thing, let's take out the sword. Let's run away from the problem, like the rest of them did. That's not the way it was. But Jesus stood straight. And firm, because he was clothed with the spiritual armor. He knew his enemy. He knew, this isn't my enemy, this man here, Malchus. Touches the man's ear is restored once again. He says, Peter, put away your sword. So it shows that we have to have preparation first. We've got to have Gethsemane first before we can go and fight some of these battles against darkness. No, we've got to have consecration. We've got to make sure that the flesh isn't governing. We've got to go and lay ourselves upon the altar. You know, we've got to let spiritual realities become real once again. You've got to move into the realm of divine love. You've got to move into, you know, that real spiritual realm. That the Spirit is real in your experience. He's real in your temperament. He's really quickening you and helping you in the things that you're doing. Then go and fight against that darkness. Because now you're going in the power of His might. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Jesus could have said to Peter, Peter, put away your sword. This issue is far deeper than you understand. You're not fighting the real battle here. No, because in any spiritual battle, there's the spiritual and there's the natural. Yes. Peter's looking at the natural. Jesus is looking at the spiritual. But Jesus knows there's a great spiritual overcoming. I've already overcome in Gethsemane. Amen. That's the real battle that needed to be fought. But you're fighting at this level here. No, saints, we don't want to fight at that kind of a level. It doesn't help anybody. Amen. In Ephesians, he says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, the only one standing at the end of that day was Jesus. The rest of them weren't there anymore. They weren't on the field of battle. The field of battle manifested quickly, friends. Amen. You quickly see who's in the spirit and who's carnal. You quickly see who's in heavenly places and who's not in heavenly places. It quickly shows itself through. You can't help but see it. How about Esther's warfare? Hallelujah. Esther, when now the darkness rose, through Haman, and the law was passed, and now the evil decree was given, Mordecai straightway realized, this is not flesh and blood. We're not racing against flesh and blood. He rent his garments. He fasted, put on sackcloth ashes. He sat and he wept. Because he realized we're going to need God to help us here. Yeah?
Amen.
He knew that straight away. He knew, Mordecai, that that battle couldn't be fought on the same terms as Haman was using. Haman had used deceit, manipulation, or deception, all those things to raise himself up to that position of power. No matter how much Esther and Mordecai got together, if they tried to fight Haman on the same level, using the same methods, Haman was far more experienced at those things. You can't fight darkness like that. And that's why Mordecai now sends the message to Esther. But at first, Esther doesn't have on the whole armor of God. Because the challenge comes up and she knows, I'm not equipped for this challenge. She could feel it inside of herself. I'm not ready here. And she's answering against the word and she's trying to justify and find reasons why she's not supposed to do what the word's telling her to do. That's a sure sign of carnality. The flesh has got a grip. Now the flesh needs to be put under, needs to be subdued. But finally now she starts seeing, yes, I've got to go into the battlefield. But before I go to the battlefield, I need 3 days. You go, you fast and pray. Me and my maidens will fast and pray. Yeah? Then I will go into the battlefield. That was wisdom. That's what we need to do when you realize inside of yourself that I'm too sensitive here. No, my temperament is kicking in here. You know, I'm saying things I shouldn't say. I'm acting in ways. I'm getting angry. I'm getting frustrated in this situation. Call a halt, like Esther did. Go and get yourself clothed with spiritual armor once again. Go and prepare yourself for the battle. Amen. Then come back to the battlefield. Amen. When now you're equipped, when now you're going in His power, the power of His might. Because these weapons are only strong through God.
Amen.
To the bringing down of strongholds. That's the only way. It's got to be Him leading you. It's got to be Him quickening you. Otherwise, don't even bother. You're just going to make the situation worse. If Esther had gone in like that, she would have made the situation worse. If she had have gone in before the king and tried to use human sympathy, you know, you my husband, you know, oh, these are my people, it would have made things worse. She would have been fighting the war at the wrong level. She had to rise up high and see this is a darkness. This isn't just Haman, but there's a darkness behind Haman. There's a power and there's a principality here that's raising up a stronghold. We've got to fight against this darkness. So they consecrated themselves to fight against their darkness at that time. Now, we know Haman's tactics that he used. How he came to the king. Never mentioned who it was. There's a certain people that live among you, you know. They don't respect the king and his laws and so forth. Just as it was in the book of Daniel. That's the devil. That's how the devil works. He works through deception, manipulation. Now, he uses those kind of tactics. We as believers should never be guilty of that. When we're wrong, we should admit we're wrong. We shouldn't try to use manipulation and playing on people's affections and all these kind of things to fight through a difficult situation. We should call a halt and say, I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I was wrong what I did there. That's the only way we're going to overcome this darkness. But finally, Mordecai ministered her to the right place. Right to the right place. And when now she started to get in the spirit, Esther, she remembered back. She remembered, how did I get into the palace? Yeah? Did I use carnal tactics? When all of those other virgins were dressing themselves up, painting their faces, putting on all of their jewelry and all their adornment, Esther never used carnal methodology. She never used the same method as those other virgins. She didn't. She knew the battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
She just did exactly what? What was his name? The eunuch in the days of Esther. Haggai. Whatever he said, that's what she did. She never used those natural tactics. And that's why now when she went before the king, the Lord fought the battle for her. She knew it's not me. It's just not my beauty. It's not my natural something. It wasn't my own wisdom. It wasn't my own cunning. It wasn't my own ability. It wasn't me using different tactics trying to lure this man. But it was God who put me in this position. And that would have comforted her during those 3 days of consecration. She would think back and say, the same God who put me here, using that kind, fighting that kind of a war on my behalf, is the same one who's going to fight this battle as well. Therefore, I'm not going in there using carnal weapons. And then once now spiritually she clothed herself in the armor, naturally things started to take care of themselves. Now she put on the royal robes. You know, it all starts on the inside. You've got to get it right inside first. Then she put on the royal robes. Then she went before the king. And then the Lord fought the battles for her. It's always like that, friends, because the battle is the Lord's. This is not a natural flesh and blood. We're fighting against darkness. We're fighting against powers and principalities, the rulers of this current darkness. Satan wants to come and bring strongholds here and strongholds there and try to make a base and try to make a clique of people who disagree with these people. And that's how he works. And then he increases the darkness and he brings criticism and all these kind of things. And we as believers need to recognize, it's not the flesh and blood here that I need to fight against. But this is a stronghold that Satan has brought. I need to use weapons that are mighty through God. I need to raise up into heavenly places to wage warfare against this darkness. And we know how it worked. What about Hannah? Hannah, at first, she would come every time to church. But she was on the humanistic level. She would weep. She'd feel sorry about herself. Now, she'd go to her husband and cry. And the husband would say, you know, no, you're better than 10 sons. She was never going to overcome that darkness. There was darkness in the family. There was something trying to hold her back from expressing the fullness of what God had called her to be. Then finally, that year when she went to the temple, she knew, I need to raise up here. I can't keep coming back year after year and just murmuring, complaining about the same situation. That this Penina, she speaks against me and, oh, it's offending me, it's hurting. No. And that year she took it to the right place. She knew, I've got to raise up into heavenly places first. And the moment she went before the tabernacle now, and she went, look what it says in 1 Samuel. If you read chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Samuel 1, verse 6. And it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore. My. So she had an adversary. It wasn't really Penina. It was the devil. It was a darkness behind Penina. Was provoking her for to make her fret. So now she was getting disturbed. No, I'm not going to go back to the tabernacle again next year. I'm not going to go up to the feast. Because that sister's speaking against me. You see the level she was at first. That's where she was fighting her battle. And then she'd go to her husband. Oh, it's not fair. No, Penina did this and Penina did that. You see, it was never going to overcome because there was a demon in this situation. There was a darkness that was at work here. So it says in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. She's just in the realm of the human spirit. That's all that it is. There's nothing of the soul here. She's weeping. She's feeling sorry about her situation. Come up higher.
Amen.
Come up higher. Nothing's going to change until we come up higher. No matter how much she stayed in that level and tried to fight at that level and tried to, you know, win her husband's favors with this and that, it wasn't going to work. This was a spirit. There was a spiritual dimension to this trial. Every trial has a spiritual dimension.
Amen.
It's got the spiritual, and when we get into heavenly places, we see that, this is the devil here. And then you focus now the spiritual energy, the spiritual quickening. You put on the whole armor of God. You enter into prayer. You enter into the word. You seek the leadership, the wisdom of God. Then you go and you fight that battle. Something's going to take place. Something's going to take place. But that year, finally, verse 10. When she went to the temple, look what it says in verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul. So finally her soul entered into it. Finally, it wasn't just her emotions, her affections, her feelings. That's got nothing to do with her memory. That's the wrong realm. You don't fight in that realm. But it was her soul. Now she started to speak from her soul. Now her soul wanted to express itself. And now when the soul started, then she went and she prayed unto the Lord. And when her soul was praying now, God paid attention to her.
Amen.
She had risen up to this place, heavenly places. Now she can wage warfare. Now things can change. Now the situation can be addressed and resolved by the Most High. But you first had to go and get desperate. You first had to go and pray and labor in prayer. Friends, putting on the armor is not an easy thing. But all of the labor and all of the preparations more than worth it when you get to the battlefield.
Amen.
That's when you say, I'm so glad I trained. I'm so glad I prepared myself. I'm so glad I sharpened my sword. I, you know, did whatever else that I needed to do to get this armor just to the place that it is. When you get out to the battlefield, you're going to appreciate that armor.
Amen.
And friends, and now you have to sit down with somebody because you know that you're at odds with one another. You're going to appreciate the armor. When that person says something to provoke you, and there's a supernatural something that kicks in, I'm not going to get provoked here. Yeah, and some of this goes on, and they say, no, like Jesus with the woman at the well. I don't want to play at the humanistic level here.
Amen.
I want to contact this person's spirit now.
Amen.
I want this to be soul to soul, because once my soul contacts this person's soul, this darkness is out of here.
Amen.
Every single time.
Amen.
But you've got to get it to that place.
Amen.
That's why sometimes these things linger and these things frustrate people. We've got to take it by the horns.
Right.
You've got to say enough is enough.
Yeah.
How long am I going to keep coming to the feast and weeping and crying about this situation?
Amen.
Is it not time now? Let me not put it in there, but me, I need to come up higher.
Amen.
It's my responsibility to come up higher. And it's my responsibility to put on the whole armor of God till it's real. Until you really have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word in season.
Yes. Amen.
It's the word the Spirit gives you exactly at the time that you need it. That's what we need.
Amen.
It's that exactly, that something that comes and just makes a difference at that time.
Right.
It's not just our knowledge and you know our learning, our understanding, trying to use those things at this time. We know what it's like. We've all been there, friends. You try to wage war, you try to resolve something, you just know it. I'm out of my depth at this time. Like when the prophet tried to pray for that baby when he had told a lie to the lawyers, yeah? And he just felt it inside of himself, I'm wasting my time. Then he said to the man, please, just keep your baby, I'll be back. And he went down to the lawyer's office, yeah? And he cast out that darkness that had come between him and the Lord. He went and he confessed that thing. Then he came back and said, bring that baby to me now. And then he could challenge that thing because now he had the breastplate of righteousness once again. Now his loins were girt with truth once again. Now he was going in the power of the Lord. Now he was clothed in his commission. Now he could go and stand with authority as he was. But we first got to rise up into that place. Otherwise it'll never work. Let's finish with this thought before we come to pray. Like I say, in every trial, there's a spiritual dimension to it. And to a believer, that's the key. That's where you got to focus. That's what you got to understand. That's what you got to discern. That's where you got to seek divine wisdom and grace. Take out that sword, wage warfare in that dimension. In reproach for the cause of the word. Now I'm going to read something very familiar, but let's think of it in this context that we're speaking about tonight. The prophet says, paragraph 81, God sets a time and has a purpose for everything that he does. There's nothing happens just accidentally to those who love the Lord and are called according to his calling. So the warfare you're in now didn't happen accidentally. The trial you're going through now didn't happen by accident. We are predestined unto these things. God predestined certain things to come across our path to teach us war. Like he did in the book of Joshua. He didn't quickly drive out all the nations. He said, I won't drive them because I need to teach you war. So he allowed certain things to stay in the inheritance so that he could teach them the principles of war.
Amen.
And the Lord allows these things to come. He allows frustrations, allows divisions, allows stubborn things that don't seem to want to get resolved to teach us how to fight properly.
Amen.
And until we learn the lesson, it continues to torment us. Until we can rise up and fight it the way that God is trying to teach us to fight it, we're going to come back every year and be fretful and be weeping to our husband. No, I don't like it these days. It's not fair. How can she say that about me? That's okay. That's the humanistic level. We understand. That's your natural person that's speaking. But there's the real you inside of there.
Amen.
There's the real you that needs to express itself in this situation. And until there comes something from your soul, that situations are going to change. Until you can rise up and be clothed in your commission, be clothed in the spirit of authority, as a mother, father, brother, sister, whatever that it is, that darkness is just going to sit there. And God's going to allow it to sit there until we learn the lesson. Of how do we wage warfare against these things? And the prophet says that. He says, we are predestinated. And everything works just right for that. So whatever you're going through now, it's working towards predestination. What God has predestined you to be, this is necessary for you to go through it. But we as human beings, once we get in the battlefield like that, what's the first thing we want to do? Like Jonah, I'm going to Tarshish. We don't want to face up to it. It's difficult. No, or we start facing up to it. We see, hey, this darkness is tough. This isn't just a pushover. You sit down with someone and say, look, sister, can't we sort this issue out? Yeah? You start speaking, it seems to get worse. So what do? You leave the battlefield. Yeah? You go and make yourself a stronghold now. You go and build all these walls and you sit behind them and say, I'm not coming out from here. That was painful last time. Yes, it's painful. It's a war.
Amen.
How do you expect not to have pain and blood and, you know, these stress and those things in a war? It's part of our training. But if you find it didn't work first time, get back.
Amen.
Rise up higher. Polish your armor. Sharpen your sword. Get back to the battlefield. Go and fight. And the prophet says you put a gun in there. It doesn't go off. You don't give up and say we're going to lose the battle. Put another one in.
Amen.
Keep putting one in until it goes off.
That's right.
And that's the principle of warfare.
Amen.
Keep against that darkness until that darkness is put in its position. Is expelled until that stronghold that it's trying to build between you and someone is absolutely demolished and there's nothing there and it's never going to resurrect again.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, you know, if you just fight against a little bit, the prophet says you can't baby devils, yeah?
Amen.
You can't just a little bit. No, friends, honestly, these kind of things, sometimes you've got to recognize when you're out of unity with somebody, you're not only affecting you and him, you're affecting all of us.
Amen.
You're affecting the whole church. That's the responsibility of all of us to say, hey, brother, sister, come up higher.
Amen.
Fight this battle. Finish this thing up, please. For all of our sake, we want to win this battle.
Amen.
But we can't win this battle if you don't beat that champion that you're fighting against.
Amen.
Come up higher. So we need to prepare ourselves for that. The prophet says everything works just right for that. For your predestination, because God cannot lie. And he said, everything has its time, its season, its way. And God is behind every move. But the darkness wants to come and say to you, God's not behind this. How can God be behind it when brother so-and-so said this against you? Well, we'll see. God's testing your reaction to an action.
That's right.
That's what he's doing. God's testing you. God's put you in battle to test your reaction. How are you going to react?
Amen.
The prophet says, those things. He says, sometimes you think everything's going wrong. In a battle, sometimes it looks like everything's going wrong. There's confusion in battle. But that's when training kicks in.
Amen.
That's when you trust in your armor and you trust in your training.
Amen.
And you trust in the orders that you've been given by whatever general, whatever leader that it is. And friends, we've got a leader who never gives us false orders.
Amen.
He's never failed in a single battle himself. And if we can just rise up in the right level, we'll never lose a battle.
Amen.
We'll never. But when we're getting defeated because we're trying to fight with carnal weapons, trying to use carnal methods, it doesn't work. We've got to come up higher. The prophet says those things are put upon us. Trials and wanderings. It's testing to see how we'll react to an action. Some time ago in Vermont, me and Brother Fred, then he goes into that story. Okay, now then he goes and picks it up now and speaks to this mountain. Listen to what he says. He says, I went with Brother Fred to the place where I almost lost my wife, yeah? When he was a guide. He went up to that camp there in Hurricane Mountain. And he says, I stepped out to one side and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I began to shake. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord said, there's a trap set for you. Be careful what you say.
Amen.
The Lord will always warn you before the battle. Why does he warn you before the battle? So you can prepare. So you can put on the full armor of God. He was trying to say to the prophet, there's going to be a problem here. There's a trap. Darkness is going to oppose you. Prepare yourself. God doesn't want you just to go into battle not being prepared. He says, Brother Fred, where are you? He says, I told Brother Sothman something's fixing to happen. And when we got to the meeting that night, I said to the audience, remember, thus saith the Lord, there's a trap set for me. All of you pray that I'll know to do the right thing when this comes to pass. Amen. We need to do that, friends. Amen. If you're having a trial, say, please, saints, pray for me. Yeah? I want to rise up higher. I want God to give me the grace to overcome. The prophet knew. He didn't just say, me and Malachi 4. Me, I met an angel in a cave. I'm going to go and face up to this problem. No. Every battle needs its preparation. Every battle is an individual battle with individual circumstances. So every battle, never take it for granted. Because the victory is depending on the preparation. You've got to prepare yourself. And the prophet, he realized that. So it was revealed to him, yeah? The Lord came and said to him, be careful, there's a trap. So the prophet knew, the Lord has spoken to me, therefore, there's a spiritual dimension to this trial. There was. There was an expectation in heavenly places. It was the great journeyman himself, God, looking down on his apprentice, the prophet, yeah? Putting him to the test. Wanting to see how will you handle this situation. And much depended on the way the prophet was going to handle that situation. Before the Lord could take him into deeper authority, greater victory, greater revelation, take him further in his commission, his predestined calling, he had to pass this test.
Amen.
And friend, whatever you and I are going through now, heaven is looking down upon us. Heaven has an expectation upon us saying, pass the test, prepare yourself. Take this carefully. Enter into it prayerfully. Face this spiritually. Don't try to use your carnal weapons now. Otherwise, he just has to take you around and bring you back to the same situation again, because you're not going any further till you pass the test. And that's how, if you failed the test before, that's okay. I mean, everybody fails the test. You know, that's okay. Go back. Renew your strength. Raise up once again,
amen,
back into the battlefield.
Amen.
And God will give you a condition once again to do it. So he says, the next night, it happened. We know it. The devil sent in these two people. And then the anointing came down and said to the prophet, say what you will. And I said, I forgive you of your act. Now, that came from his soul.
Amen.
That wasn't just his conscious saying it. He had got his conscious and his subconscious perfectly lined up. He was in a certain spiritual condition that when that trial came, his soul spoke out. The prophet says, before I knew what I said, it came from my heart. He says, I said, I forgive you. And it must have been just the right thing to say. It was God trying a reaction on an action. Oh, friends, that's when you need to go and pray and spend time before the Lord and say, Lord, this thing that I'm going through now, how have I reacted to this? How am I reacting towards this warfare here? This darkness that's facing me, this darkness that's contending against me, this darkness that's bringing oppression, division, disunity, whatever this darkness is doing, how am I reacting to this? Am I coming up high and reacting in the spirit, or am I down here in the valley? Am I reacting as a natural person would react? Am I trying to justify myself? Am I being angry with people? Am I being disrespectful? Am I using carnal means, carnal methods to try to overcome this? You're not going to overcome it like that. And you're not going any further in your predestined walk until you learn that. Until you learn that, no, 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 no. Let me call a halt here. I need to come up higher. I need to get into that dimension where warfare is waged successfully. I need to raise up in the spirit. I need to put the spiritual armor on. I need it to be real to me once again. I don't need divine love just to be something I quote to other people. It says love is not easily provoked. So why am I being so easily provoked in this trial? I'm lacking in my spiritual armor. Let me withdraw. Let me go back like Jesus in Gethsemane. Let me go and get better prepared for this battle. Then when I put on the whole armor of God, then when I'm coming not with carnal weapons anymore, then I'm coming back to this battlefield. And Satan, when I come back, you're in a lot of trouble. That's the attitude you've got to have. To say, when I come back, you are gone. This is your last chance. This trial, I'll never see it again. Then you come back like Hannah, praying from your soul. Heaven's going to start to listen. The powers of darkness are going to start to tremble. They're going to start to move. And when you come back down now clothed in your divine commission, like when Esther put on the royal robes now, and she went clothed for her position, anointed, she went down and faced up to that situation. The kingdom of darkness shook and crumbled and fell just because of Esther. But she had to prepare herself for battle. And that's what she did. The prophet says it was God trying a reaction on an action. That night it was revealed to me I'd said the right thing. And I knew it was all leading to something. So what you're going through now is leading to something. Amen. If you could raise up in the spirit and see it, you'll see, but this isn't happening for nothing. This isn't just to frustrate me. This isn't just to annoy me. This isn't just for me to think I'm not good, I'm going to live somewhere else. That's not what that trial's there for. That trial is leading to something. If you can face it the right way like the prophet did, if you can prevail and overcome, it's leading you somewhere. The prophet says, Jesus said, you don't know what kind of a spirit you are. The Son of Man came to save life, not to destroy. Those scriptures kept pouring over. Now listen what he says. But that was a trap set that Satan would get me all worked up. And then I'd say the wrong thing. Be careful. Satan wants to work us up, friends. He wants to get us angry and frustrated and bitter, impatient. He wants to get us in that kind of a place. And then instead of saying the right thing, instead of responding the right way and moving our adoption up to the next level, we now condemn ourselves to another few months in the wilderness. God has to take us around once again and then finally bring us back to that situation and say, okay, my son, okay, my daughter, please. There's a cloud of witnesses now and an expectation. Do it the right way. But you can't do it the right way if you don't prepare yourself. The prophet says, but the Holy Spirit was there and told me beforehand to be careful what I said. Oh, the goodness of God. And tonight, let it be the goodness of God. Amen. Let it be the goodness of God. Before we do anything else down the line of spiritual warfare, let's come and pray. Let's check up. Let's make sure we're in the right spiritual place before we go and try to fight spiritual wars. Before we go and try to kick spirit darkness out of high places, let's make sure we're in high places first. Amen. Otherwise, it doesn't help. It makes it worse. It doesn't remove the darkness, it increases the darkness. It doesn't pull down the stronghold, it just makes the stronghold stronger and more difficult next time to go and break down those walls of that stronghold that Satan's built up in the life of a person. Satan's built up in the home of a believer. Satan's built up in a relationship between certain people. We've got to go about this right, friends. We've got to go about it right. The prophet says, oh, the goodness of God. Be careful what you say. And from then on, there was a relief come. And I began to notice different things. I would speak out unconsciously and not knowing what I said, and it would happen that way. And I began to speak about it. And that's when he moved into the realm of the spoken word. Friends, he didn't know when that test came that he was just one test away from the spoken word. How do you know that that test you're going through now is the one thing that stands between you and the spoken word? Stands between you and the next stage in your adoption before the Lord. It definitely has some significance because nothing happens by chance. God is behind every move. We are predestined unto these things. I'll read one more quote, then we come to pray from the token. The prophets speak about when trouble comes in. He says, maybe between you and your daughter. He says, maybe your daughter's rebelling. Maybe she's going the ways of the world in the token. He says, you apply it, the token. And say, Lord, I'm going after my son. Or I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit that lives in me, catch my daughter. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me. He will do it. So what is it that wins the battle? Is the anointing that's on you.
Amen.
What is it that gives you preeminence over the darkness? Is when that token is real.
Amen.
So that's what the prophet's saying, doing. Don't go and try to sort out the problem with your daughter and your son on a humanistic level, in the flesh. The weapons of warfare are not carnal. He says, but go, raise up into the realm of the token. Get freshly anointed with the token once again. Let the token be real. Let the token be anointing you. Then you go. Then you say, Holy Spirit, who's upon me? You're the one who's going to fight this battle. Because the battle is the Lord's. Then you go. Does he ever fail when it's like that, friends? Does he ever fail? The other person may kick and fuss, but the same Holy Ghost that anointed you to go, the same Holy Ghost that governed you in the things that they're doing, that Holy Ghost won't give that person rest. If they're a genuine person, they'll go home and they won't sleep. They'll toss and turn and toss and turn, knowing that it's not right what I did. It's not right. God opened a way here for reconciliation. There was an anointing. It was the time. It was the season. It was the place. But I never responded. And that person there, then, they'll start to realize, I need to come up higher.
Amen.
Because God has to be working on both ends.
Ah,
friends, let's come to prayer tonight. And let's wage war against this darkness.
Amen.
But even before that, let's be honest in the presence of the Lord about our own spiritual condition.
Amen.
Let's look at the way we've reacted recently to situations we're going through. Let's see, how has my reaction been? Is this the way that Paul would have reacted in his trial? Is this the way that Jesus would have reacted when he went through his trials? If not, then say, Lord, I want to come up higher.
Amen.
Spend time in his presence. Spend time in prayer. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Let the old nature be crucified once again. Let your human feelings that get in the way of the program of God. Let your human emotions that stand in the way of the program of God. Let whatever it is, whatever's carnal inside of you that's standing in the way of the will of God being done in that situation, you first wage war against yourself.
Amen.
You put yourself under like that.
Amen.
Until you're clothed once again in the spirit of your commission, in the authority of a believer. Then you go now to wage warfare. And friends, you'll have a testimony. You will have a testimony. The powers of darkness will flee. There's nothing they can do to withstand. Somebody approaches things that way. Jesus said, I give unto you power.
Amen.
I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
But first, we've got to rise up into heavenly places. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing one song. Let's come to prayer. Let's really pray about this issue. Say, Lord, please help us as individuals. Lord, help me as your son. Help me as your daughter. Reveal and show to me what it is that would please you at this time. And let's come in prayer and let's come up higher.
Thank you.
Let's come to prayer, saints. But the song says you cannot hide it from God. You can cover everything else, but He knows where you are, you know where you are. Why not let's come to Him and say, Lord, You've predestined my path. You've ordained my footsteps. You've brought me to this situation. Now, Lord, I want to rise up. I want to rise up into that place that I might know that I'm fully divinely equipped to please You, to say what You want me to say, to act the way that You want me to act. Lord, You've brought this action against me to test my reaction to an action. Oh, surely, Lord, it's leading up to somewhere. You've led me from somewhere to where I am now. Surely, Lord, this could be something that could take me another big step further into the spiritual realm, into authority, into things, Lord, that I haven't fully experienced as of yet. Grant me grace at this time to be like Hannah, that, Lord, I may seek You from my soul, that, Father, You may prepare me, Lord, that I might put on the whole armor of God. Let's pray, saints, upon this night. Pray for yourself. Pray for your brothers, your sisters. Pray for us as a church. May the Lord help us. Let's all pray. Pray for Brother Mike. Brother Mike, would you come and close for us in a word of prayer, please, if you would, bro. Thanks, bro. If you have a request, just keep it in your heart. Saints, we ask Brother Mike to come to close for us. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Let us pray, saints.
Amen.
Lord Father.
Yes, Lord.
We've gathered again, once again, to Your places, Lord. Humbling ourselves, Lord Father. Lifting our hearts, Lord, to You, Lord Father. We've come here, Lord Father, with knowing nothing, Lord. But Lord, as we leave now, Lord Father, we've witnessed as You, Lord Father. We've witnessed You, Lord Father. That, Lord, we know You, Lord. Oh, Lord, You've done it, Lord Father, for us, Lord. Oh, Lord Father, we feel Your power, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We come upon this evening, Lord Father, with our hearts fully, Lord Father, believing You, Lord Father.
Amen.
Whatever
Amen.
You do for us, Lord Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we've seen You, Lord, in so many ways, Lord
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
There's so many miracles that You've already done for
Amen.
Us, Lord
yes,
Father.
Lord.
You
yes,
have healed
Lord.
Those that are sick, Lord Father.
Amen.
Oh, You have provided those that are, Lord Father, they were seeking some other things, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, You've given everything, Lord Father.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, You've given wisdom to our children, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, You've given, Lord Father, traveling maces to us, Lord.
Yes,
You
Amen.
Put the food, Lord, on our tables,
Amen,
Lord
Amen,
Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Oh, we thank You, Lord. Lord Father, Lord, that You've already, Lord Father, blessed us in so many ways, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I ask You once again, Lord, be with those that are not at this place, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Wherever they
Amen.
Are, Lord Father, whatever
yes,
they
Lord.
Seek for, Lord Father,
yes,
we
Lord.
Ask You, Lord Father, You reach them,
yes,
You touch
Lord.
Them, Lord Father, You
Amen.
Give them all the needs that they desire, Lord Father.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Father, this evening, Lord Father,
oh.
The only thing that we seek to You, Lord, it's Your glory, Lord
Amen.
Father.
Yes,
oh,
Lord,
Lord Father, we ask You, Lord,
Amen.
That Your Holy Spirit should come to us, Lord
Amen.
Father. Oh, You should lift us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord
yes,
Father,
Lord.
We pray You, Lord Father, Lord, that, oh, Lord, You should always, Lord, protect us all from the
yes.
evils, Lord, from
Amen.
This world, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, Father, we've come here with the flesh, Lord, Father, but, Lord, as we go home, Lord, Father,
yes,
we
Lord.
Want You, Lord, Father, to come upon us, Lord, Father,
Amen.
To be in our souls, Lord.
Yes.
Oh,
Amen.
Lord, to protect us all the way. Whatever
Amen.
We do, Lord,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
You be with
yes,
us, Lord.
Lord.
Oh, Lord, Father, I ask You once again, Lord, Father, bless each and every family
Please,
this place, Lord,
Lord
Father.
Amen.
Bless our pastor, Lord,
Please,
his family, Lord,
Amen.
Father. Strengthen,
Amen.
Lord. Oh, strengthen them, Lord, Father.
Please, Lord.
Oh, Lord, Amen. Father, we know the responsibility that they took, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Father,
Amen.
He,
Amen.
We know that he's been working since morning, Lord, Father.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, he sacrificed himself to come upon us,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
Father.
Yes,
oh, you've used him, Lord, Father, as a cup, Lord,
Amen.
To bring us, Lord, your food, Lord, a food of life, Lord.
Oh,
that's always, Lord Father, strengthen us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, you bless him, Lord Father.
Please, Lord.
Oh, you bless his children,
Lord. Amen. Father. Amen. Oh, bless our elders, Lord, Father. Yes, bless Lord. Brother Marks, Lord. Oh, Amen. Bless all the deacons, Lord, Father. Yes, Lord. All the officers, Amen. Lord, Father. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, Amen. Father, bless our... Oh, Lord, Father, our song leader, Brother George, Lord, yes, his Lord. Family, Amen. Lord, Father, you Amen. Take care of his health, Lord, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
yes,
Lord, Father, we ask you once again, Lord, tonight, Lord, Father, leash those that are not here once again, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we praise you, we give you glory in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let's sing one as we dismiss saints, and God be with you until we meet on Sunday.
I surrender.